السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. ون آف دا ورسٹ تھنگس وی کین ڈو از میک نوائز ان اے مسجد. وین اٹس نماز ٹائم پیپل آر ریڈنگ صلاح, اینڈ ٹو میک نوائز ان اے مسجد از ون آف دا ورسٹ تھنگس وی کین ڈو. The reason being, the whole object of life, right, is to connect ourselves with Allah Ta'ala. Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, they came to the dunya to connect the makhluk to the khaliq. I was explaining to you all last week, the whole object of the ijtima is what? To connect the makhluk to the khaliq. And salah plays a very, very vital, integral role in this. It's a daily reminder, 5 times a day, to come to the masjid, we have to perform our salah. If salah is performed properly, Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. If salah is performed properly, everything will get sorted out. This is why on the day of Qiyamah, the first thing that will be brought to account for will be Salah. Allah Ta'ala will take us to account for our Salah. If the Salah goes well, then aflaha wa anjaha. This person will be successful, he will pass, and everything else also will follow suit. Because once his salah is right, automatically everything will come right. Right? But if his salah is not right, then khabu wa khasib. The person now is destroyed. Right? And if his salah is not right, then everything else also won't be right. So if we had to read our salah properly, our whole life will come right. But we are weak. We're weak. While we're reading salah, one is we ourselves sometimes, Allah maaf kare, we start thinking about this, we start thinking about that. Then we got nafs. Nafs makes us think of this and of that. Shaitan comes, he makes his waswasa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that make the safs close. Because I see Shaitan like one black sheep is going in between the safs. Now he goes and reminds a person of things that the person doesn't think of any other thing. Something happened in high school, something happened in primary school. Now you start thinking about that in namaz. You forgot about that thing. Now you start thinking about it in salah. That is shaitan's work, to take a person's mind away. Now, we trying to contend with all of that. You know, to put it in an example that we can understand, right? You take the people of Gaza. One side they have to contend with the starvation, right? The siege. Then they have to contend with the bombs. Then there's no medical, hardly any medical assistance, right? All that they have to contend with. And then on top of it, their own people now, who's Muslim people, your own Muslim come give you a kick in the teeth. You down, you out, on top of it, your own people come now and give you another kick. Now how does that feel? That is exactly what it is when we make noise in the masjid. That this person is trying now. Be weak. Now one side our mind is weak. One side nafs is causing a problem. We're trying to connect with Allah Ta'ala. One side, Shaitan is coming. He is making his waswasa. Right? Now, if all that wasn't enough, then we get our own. Our own who are sitting in the masjid and making noise. They whispering, they talking, they shuffling, they doing something. Now, what chance we got to concentrate now? So that's one of the worst things we can do, is somebody is trying to read salah, they're trying to concentrate, and now we come and we start talking and causing a din and all of that. One is in the masjid, one is in the presence of the masjid. Sometimes we have come out of the masjid, right? But the walls are not soundproof, windows are open, everything. Now we're standing right outside the masjid, and we're making panchat now. That person in the masjid was trying to read namaz, now he's getting disturbed. So we must try and make islah of this. Right? We must make a niyat that, look, I will not make noise in the masjid. I'm not going to be one who is going to disturb a musalli. This not causing disturbance to a musalli is such an important thing in our deen, that we are told that when we come to the masjid, we mustn't even read Quran Sharif loudly if other people are reading namaz. If people are reading salah, then salah takes preference. Salah takes preference over everything else. So we mustn't even read Quran Sharif loudly also. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq. Jee. We were speaking about tazkiyah, right? This whole process of tazkiyah, and we were discussing this incident of Shibli Rahmatullah Ali coming to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali wanting to take bayat. So Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali is explaining that man has three basic faculties. Insan has got three basic faculties. The first one is quwwat-e ghazbiyyah. Right? In other kitabs, Hazri Rahmatullah Ali broke it down further into five categories. But here he is just mentioning in brief that one is quwwat-e ghazbiyyah. Our ghadab, you know, anger. Ghadab. So a person, that is one faculty of his anger, right? Then you get quwwat-e shahwiyyah. This is a person's passions, his passion, his shahwat, his desire. And then you get quwwat-e aqliyyah. This is a person's reasoning, his ability to reason, his aql, his intellect. So each of these can exist in any one of three levels. First level is a person is deficient in ghadab, in shahwat, in aqal. The person is deficient. Right? So this is one extreme. The other extreme is the person has these things in excess. So when a person has these things in excess, so now if his anger is in excess, so now he'll be fighting with everybody. He just gets angry over little things. He can't control himself. He just pulls a trigger. He fists somebody, punch somebody, swear somebody, can't control himself because his ghadab is in excess. If the ghadab is deficient, now this person will be cowardly. Where he's supposed to show some anger also, is a battlefield, he's supposed to show something with his children, he's supposed to show some firmness if they did something wrong, now he can't do anything because his ghadab is deficient. Allah Ta'ala's laws are being broken in his own house also, he can't show any ghadab. Because it is deficient. Right? So there should be equilibrium, i'tidal. There must be i'tidal in the anger. Right? The shahwat is the same. Allah Ta'ala has given different people different levels of shahwat. If a person has got no shahwat at all, how would he even go to work? The desire for food, the desire for some comforts, the desire for making yourself a little bit comfortable, all this is part of shahwat. If a person's shahwat is too much, now he will be committing zina. Allah Ta'ala has allowed him a maximum of 4 wives. There is no person that can say that they got so much of shahwat that even 4 wives not enough for him. Because Allah Ta'ala created us. Allah Ta'ala knows what our needs are. So even the person with a very high level of shahwat, maximum 4 wives will be enough for him. Right? Now if the person over and above that is committing zina, is having affairs and all that, then it shows that his shahwat is in excess. Not that Allah Pak gave him shahwat in excess. No, he's not controlling his shahwat. He's not controlling his shahwat. He is behaving like animal. He's behaving like animal. This animalistic instincts in him of ghadab, of shahwat, is in excess. He's not controlling it. He's not keeping it with i'tidal. And if it is, you know, deficient, then that's another problem also. And then the person's akal, is quwwat-e aqliya. So if the person is deficient in there, now he will be foolish. He will be foolish. He will be making silly mistakes. People will be taking him for a ride. He'll be falling in the same, you know, there is a saying that a mu'min, he doesn't get bitten from the same hole twice. One time you may catch the person, but you're not going to catch him 2 times. But now if the person, his akal is deficient, you'll catch him 10 times also. And if the akal is gone too much now, then this person, he becomes sly. Then he sees how to crook systems. To teach a person how to be a crook, how to do wrong things. This from childhood, the school teaches the children. Games teach the children how to do this. Children, they go to school, they say they must do an essay, or they must do some homework or whatever. Today, what they're doing? Their parents got money, they're paying other people to do the homework. No, that's not today. That's yesterday. Today, they're getting AI. Yesterday, they were paying somebody to do it. There's people that actually, that's their profession. You pay them, they do the homework for you, do everything for you, you take it and go to school. And now you just get the AI now. AI will do your homework for you, AI will do your essay, AI will do this, AI will do that. The person is playing a game. He's so excited because he knows the cheat code. So, what's the sense? What's the sense? He's excited. He got the cheat code. So now, if the person grows up with that mindset, he got a crooked mind. He got the mind of a crook. How to steal, how to embezzle, how to fraud, all that the person is learning. So Allah Ta'ala has given him a brain. Now instead of using it in good now, He is using that brain to see now, right? How I can do this, how I can fool that one, how I can steal from this one, white collar crime, this collar crime, that collar crime. But when it is in equilibrium, now the person will be using his aqal in a manner that Allah Ta'ala wants him to use the aqal. So this process of tazkiyah is to bring everything in equilibrium. That is what the process of tazkiyah is about. To bring everything into equilibrium. Right? It's like how you do alignment. You do alignment now. To get the alignment right. That is a process of tazkiyah. So in tazkiyah, you don't want to kill off all these instincts, what we call animal instincts, because we are hayawan. We are hayawan. So you don't want to kill off all these instincts, because without the instincts, you won't be able to survive in the dunya. But at the same time, you don't want it to be deficient, you don't want it to be in excess. There must be an equilibrium. Now, this person is a balanced human being. He's a balanced insan. Now everything he does will be balanced. If he's doing a deal with somebody, he'll be fair. I mustn't cheat him. At the same time, I mustn't get cheated also. I must be honest, I must be fair. He too must make his money, and whatever is due to me, that must be delivered to me also. Now this is an insan who is balanced. So in everything it will be like that. The person is eating also, he will be eating in balance. He won't be overeating. If he gets upset with something, we are human, we have emotions, we get upset, but his reaction also is with the balance. He's not going overboard on either side. Right? So this is the whole process of tazkiyah, is to acquire this equilibrium. In the kitab called Good Character, Hazrat Rahmatullahi explains the five faculties. And then Hazrat Rahmatullahi mentions that the aqal, right? One is ilm, and then you got aqal. So the aqal controls the whole body. Although we are emotional beings, but we don't allow our emotions to run away with us. Right? You see, Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable daughter sent for him. She sent a message. She said that her baby is passing away. Right? Now, this is the grandchild of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the nana, right, of this child. And we know what it is with grandparents, how they dote over their grandchildren, etc. So this child is passing away. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with some sahaba radiallahu anhu. The person brings a message to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that go back to my daughter and tell her, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message back. Go and tell her that verily whatever Allah Ta'ala takes belongs to Allah. Verily belongs to Allah Ta'ala whatever he takes. Belongs to Allah Ta'ala whatever he gives. And everything has an appointed time. So exercise sabr and be hopeful of reward from Allah Ta'ala. Imagine, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have went there immediately. But he's sitting here, he gets a message that his grandson is in Sakrat. But look at how composed he is. Right? What an advice he's sending to his daughter. So this message goes to her. She sends a message back. Go back to my father and tell him that I am asking him in Allah Ta'ala's name to come. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately he wakes up. Now he's done his duty as a messenger, giving good counsel, that as a banda, a servant of Allah Ta'ala, male or female, as an ummati of mine, this should be your reaction when you're going through any difficulty. This should be your reaction. Now he is switching role to a father. The daughter is calling for the father. So now he goes. When Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes there, the baby is given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the baby is battling to breathe, gasping now for breath, sakra. And the baby passes away in the Mubarak arms of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you can imagine now the nana holding the child. Child passes away. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tears. So on few occasions, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teared. At the time somebody passed away, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teared. So that is emotion. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it rahmat. This is mercy. Allah Ta'ala puts it in the hearts of those bandas of his whom he wishes. Deen doesn't say now you must be so hard that your own child pass away, your own grandchild also pass away. Not, he's taking it well. He's strong, you see. No tears, nothing. Strong man. No. Strongest was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nobody stronger than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no merits in not shedding tears. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the eyes will tear, the heart will grieve. Right? So this is our emotional side. This is our emotional side. That we have emotions, we are people of emotions. Right? So we can't stop the eyes from tearing. We can't stop the heart from grieving. But now the akal will take over. The tongue will not utter anything displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Emotions you can't control. You can't control emotion. This is why Huzur e Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala with regards to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een, that Ya Allah, I'm just giving you more, not the exact words. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that I'm being just to them in that which you have given me the ability to be just. Don't take me to task for that which you haven't given me the ability to be just. What is the meaning of that? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, when it comes to spending the time, in fact, there were certain things that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even have to do. A man, if he has got more than one wife, So when he's going on safar, he's going on a journey, he can choose whichever wife he wants to take with him on the journey. The journey is not counted with the normal bari-bari. It's not part of the bari-bari. Now, when that is for any person, now imagine for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the bari-bari was relaxed, but he still fulfilled it. Right? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to go in safar, and I wanted to take some Ummul Mu'mineen or few of the Ummat Mu'mineen, so as not to hurt their hearts, he drew lots. They draw lots. Whoever's name come out, they will come. So no one will feel that no. You know, I got left. So not like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the choice, he draw lots. So this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to. That, Ya Allah, that which you gave me the ability to spend on them equally, time equally, all that, that I am doing. But don't take me to task for that which I have no control over. You haven't given me. So what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to is emotions. Emotions. That at times you would have more muhabbat for one than the other. Or you may have more muhabbat for one all the time. That's a matter of the heart. That's emotions. So what I'm trying to explain, why I'm giving you these examples, is that we are emotional people. And Allah Pak is not going to take us to task for our emotions, provided the akal takes over. And we don't allow those emotions to override us. I'm upset that this person did something to me, I'm upset. That's my emotion. Now I'm not talking to him for more than 3 days. That means my akal failed me. My akal supposed to kick in. My akal supposed to kick in and say, look, now this is wrong what you're doing. This is wrong. You have to talk to this person. You have to make peace with this person. You can't carry on like this. Right? And this akal has to be ruled by the Shariat. The akal can't make its own, come to its own conclusions and make up its own thing what it wants to do. No. The akal is governed by the Shariat. Understand? So emotions will come. And Ustad can be sitting in the class. The student has upset him. That's an emotion. That's an emotion. Now, he hits the student. Hits him very badly. Now he broke the law of Allah. His akal didn't come in. You got bigger students. Right? Ustad may be teaching kitabs. There's a student that has disrespected him. There's a student that hasn't done his work. He back-chatted. Ustad is upset. It's normal. He's upset. He's angry. Right? But now he makes up his mind that this student, yeah, write him off. Right? I'll just write him off. I'll just ignore him. He must do whatever he feels like doing. I won't ask to check his work. I won't ask him any question. No. You're coming to your own conclusion with your akal. That akal, that conclusion is not what Allah Pak wants. Allah Pak doesn't want that. So the emotions are normal. The emotions will come. Akal has to kick in. Akal has to kick in and see what's the right thing to do. And the akal has to be governed by the Shariat. So this is what Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali was doing to Shibli Rahmatullah Ali. Hukukul Ibad. Hukukul Ibad. You got to go and ask maafi from all those people you ruled over. go and ask them for maafi. Do we ever ask our staff for maafi? Are we perfect that we don't make any decision that's incorrect? Did we ever ask our staff, maybe at the end of the term or end of the month or end of the year or whatever, you know, either collectively or individually or whatever, you know, sometime I may have just come across abruptly to you or something, forgive me, make me maaf. Do we think to ask anybody for maafi? So, the akal has to kick in. Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, when then he made him beg to break that ego, that pride, break it. So this process of tazkiyah was taking place. When the process of tazkiyah, the purification takes place, now comes the beautification. Now comes the beautification. Now the beautification is what? The akhlaq-e hamida. The praiseworthy qualities will come in. Right? Now, hukuk, whether it's a hukuk of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is the hukuk of the bandas of Allah Ta'ala, if we fail in that department, that is what we're going to be taken to task for on the day of Qiyamah. And that is what this tazkiyah and tasawuf is about. That I must not fail in fulfilling anybody's hukuk. Right? The sad part is that we have reduced tasawuf and tazkiyah to huzuz. We forgot the hukuk. We want the huzuz. What is a huzuz? I must see beautiful, beautiful dreams. I must have kefiyat. When I'm reading namaz now, my saliva must turn sweet. Right? I go into sajda now, there's like fountains of sugar coming out of every pore in my body. And one karamat happened. Some Buzugan didn't experience these things. Right? So you must remember, huzuz is also makhluk. So how can the salik be chasing huzuz? The salik, he is looking for khaliq. Now if he's going to go behind these things, right, then he is chasing makhluk. These things will come by the way. They will come by the way. They are not the objective. The objective is the hukuk. My salah, my zakat, my hajj, my sawm, my aqaid is all correct. Right? These are the hukukullah. The sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all, am I putting it in my life? This is the rights of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over me. Right? The rights of my parents, the rights of my wife or wives, the rights of my children, rights of my family members, my neighbors, my employer, my employees, whatever, whoever's hukuk around me, that's what I'm going to be answerable for. Razji Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that, see, one is food, your dar, roti, chawal, all these things, that is the food, goes, right? Now, if a person doesn't eat these things, he will cause problems to his health, right? Achar, chutney, sauce, or Nutella, you have to add these things by Ashkan or new things. Those things are all side delicacies. If those things are not there, it's not going to affect anybody's health. Those are the huzuz. The hukuk is that food. The huzuz is all those things. If a person only eats chutney, achar, Nutella, he's going to get sick. He only eats that. He'll get sick. Understand? So, tasawuf is not about that. It's not about chasing that. Tazkiyah is about putting ourselves right. I'll conclude on this. This afternoon, the students were making, they were reading Hayatul Sahaba. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he goes to his mother, Hazrat Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Asma radiallahu anha and Ma'aisha radiallahu anha were sisters. Same father, different mothers. So Abdullah bin Zubair is the Asma radiallahu anha's son. So he goes to his mother and he says to her that, see, my people have deserted me. Right? And the enemy is calling me to make enter into some peace agreement. So what must I do? I'm highlighting emotions. This is a mother, right? She's in her old age. Her eyesight also has gone weak. She's very old now. The son is coming to her. The son is telling her that, see, the people that were with me, they have deserted me. I don't have too many people left with me. The enemy is calling me to make a truce. We enter into a peace agreement and forget the fight. Right? What must I do? 99% of mothers, what they'll tell the son. And Asma radiallahu anha, was she not a mother? But you see, akal kicks in. And that akal is ruled by the shariat. So what jawab she gives her son? She says to her son, if you are fighting to establish the book of Allah Ta'ala, then continue. But that's your objective in life, to establish the shariat. And if you are fighting to establish yourself, in other words, I must live now with peace with everybody and we can all be in prosperity and whatever, then it doesn't matter whether you are dead or alive. Where she put her emotions? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. This weekend, inshallah, will be overnight program. Program will start after Maghrib. Asr is but early. So, program will start after Maghrib. After Maghrib, we'll have program. After Isha will be meals, and after the meals we'll have another program, and then in the morning, inshallah, we'll announce the, what time and all that. Allah Ta'ala accept. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام. اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.